Okay, good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. The Mashiach and Geula class. So this is the last class in Tavshin Ayin Hei. We spoke so much about the awesomeness of this year. And to a certain degree, it's like a little frustrating that the year has ended and so far we haven't seen the Geula yet. So first of all, we don't give up. And there's still time for Mashiach, Yeshua Hashem Keharef Ayin. The help of Hashem comes in an instant, in a split second. But there's another thing I do want to mention. On the Alter Rebbe's Maimer that I was referring to, I mentioned this on my Monday night class as well, but being that this is the Mashiach class, and though some people might not have heard that, so here's a very important idea. We were basing off the Alter Rebbe's Maimer, in which he was talking about the shkalim, the remaining shkalim of silver that were not part of the 100 kikar. There was 100 kikar of silver. In addition to that, there were 1,775 shkalim remaining. So those 1,775 shkalim he made into hooks for the pillars. Asavavim lamudim. So from that pasuk, where it says the 1,775, the Alter Rebbe says that it's meram is the geula because it has a trap called Azlogeresh. Azlogeresh, the Zohar says, is connected to the Shekhinah being in exile. That the Azla Geresh, she went Geresh, she was banished. How long is the Shekhinah banished? So the Alter Rebbe says, it says in this Pasuk 1775, which tells us that the time of Galus, and he calls it the Ketz Amiti, the true Ketz, is 1775 years. Question is, when do you start counting the 1775 years? So in the Maimer, he first says that we should really start. He makes a whole calculation. I'm not going to get into it, but the explicit date that's mentioned in the Maimer is that it's supposed to end in the year Tafet Reish Gimel, which comes out to the year 1843. That year came and went, and Mashiach did not come. However, the underlying implication of the Maimer, if you learn it, is you see that the Alter Rebbe seems to very strongly be stating a possibility that we don't count to 1775. Until when the Galus was really supposed to start, which was in the year 4000. If Galus was supposed to start in the year 4000, then the conclusion of that is 1775, the concluding of that 1775 is the year 5775, which was this past year, Tavshin Ayin Hei. Based on that, I was suggesting very strongly that this is a year of Geula. In supporting of that was also the story of the Alter Rebbe that when he leaned this pasuk in during Kriyas HaTorah and Parshas Pekudei, he leaned instead of Ves Ha Elef, he leaned Ves He Elef, Shva Meis Veshifim Vachamisha. Okay. Problem is that the year came and went, and so far there's no Geula. So, in addition to the fact, as we mentioned earlier, that we hope Mashiach can come any second, but there's something else which I need to emphasize. What was exciting about this year and what fits so well was also that it was the Shemitah year. Chazal tell us that b'moitzi Shemitah, that the most opportune time for Geula is the end of Shemitah. So the end of Shemitah is the end. Now the end can be understood as from Pesach till now is the second half of Shemitah, and of course Elul moitzi Shemitah. But really, in Halacha I think, the main inyan moitzi Shemitah is the beginning of the eighth year. Like we find the mitzvah of Hakel, when you gather all the yidden, happens b'moitzei Shemitah. Moitzei Shemitah, and that's, Hakel doesn't happen in the year of Shemitah, it happens on the year the following Shemitah, the first year of the new cycle. So that would say moitzei Shemitah is the beginning of next year, meaning the first 6 months of next year is included in moitzei Shemitah. Now, but the Alter Rebbe in the Maimer seems to be saying 1775. So therefore, I want to clarify that when you look at the Maimer carefully, you see he says that's the 1775 is the time that the Shekhinah is in Galus. It doesn't say that's when Mashiach comes. He says that's the time when the Shekhinah is in Galus, 1775 years, which means 1775 Tisha B'Avs. Mashiach's coming, he actually also talks about in that Maimer, but not in the word 1775. But in the next pasuk, and I'm sorry, not the next pasuk, but the continuation of the pasuk, that's a elef v'shvam meis v'shibim v'chamisha asa vavim la'amudim. He says Mashiach's coming is hinted to in when it says he made vavim for the amudim. Vavim, he says, in simple meaning, it means a hook. The reason why a hook is called a vav is because the hooks in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, they looked like a vav, like an upside down vav, basically like a check. It was like a piece of silver that was like when you make a check and an X. So it was like a protruding like a check. And then on top of that hook, they put like a little pole. And that's what held up the curtains. Vavim la amudim. But the Alter Rebbe explains, why is it really called vavim? Vavim means, vav means a hamshacha. It means a flow. So he explains that the flow of Nevuah was interrupted for the thousands of years that we had Galus. There was no flow of prophecy. When Mashiach is going to come, the two amudim, which is called Yachin Ubayaz, these are the two amudim, two pillars that stood at the entrance of the Heichal. There were two big pillars, literally on the Mishkan, there were two pillars. They were called Yachin and Bayaz. And Kabbalistically, they personify Netzach and Hoid, through which Nevuah comes to. If you learn Tanya, you learn that every Nevuah has to come through Netzach and Hoid. Even Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, because you can't have Nevuah past Netzach and Hoid, because it's too godly, too overwhelming, too powerful, it would cancel. Even Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. It came through Netzach and Hoid. So these are the two thighs, the two pillars. Asa Vavim Lamudim means that there is a Vav, that means there is a Hamshacha to the pillars. That means that when Mashiach will come, the Vav, there will be a flow. Now the pipes were turned down during Galus. There was no flow of Nevuah. It was shut down. When Mashiach comes, Hashem is going to open up the flow. So the Vav is going to go through the pillars, and there's going to be Asa Vavim Lamudim. And he explains over there that when Mashiach comes, every single Yid will be a Navi like Moshe Rabbeinu. Vavim Lamudim. So now the hint is so clear that Asa Vavim Lamudim, Mashiach's coming is connected to the Vav. That's where we're holding now, Tavshin Ayin Vav. It's the flow that B'moitzeh Shmita, that's the Giyula. So take looking at that and looking at what's happening now in the world, right when we enter into the Shmita year. Mamish the Mechemes Gog U'Magog, the whole world has gathered against the Jewish people to sign this treaty, which puts at least in potential Chas V'Shalom a threat on Yidden, and definitely Hayalaitia, that will never happen. But the mere fact that people have already given their go-ahead, and it looks like Chas V'Shalom might go through in the Congress as well. And when does this happen? Right, B'moitzeh Shmita, right at the beginning. I think the vote in Congress happens on the 17th, right after Rosh Hashanah. So it's mamish at this time, and you see all this happening. And Paras, and Yalkut Shemayni says that Paras threatens the world during that time. I mean, that is coming about right in front of our eyes. So with all the reason to believe that Mashiach is coming right now, and our avodah has to be to do tshuva, and to not allow Chas V'Shalom Rosh Hashanah to pass by without us storming the gates of heaven and demanding from the Eibishter that Chas V'Shalom, we don't want to wait another Shemitah. Chas V'Shalom Hayu Loitia, and B'motzeh Shemitah Ben David Bo, it has to happen, take of Miyat Mamish now. So this is just an introduction into today's class. Now, last week we were continuing the Brisbane Apsarim, and of course, the Brisbane Apsarim, being that this is the first covenant Hashem makes with the Jewish people, with the first of the Avos, it contains everything. So we're trying to learn a little deeper, and see what is the message of Geula that's over here. So really, it's Kula Geula; it's all redemption. Last week we discussed what is the idea of the animals that he cut in half. The Medrash says that these animals, there was a calf, there was a goat, and there was a ram, and then a pigeon. And we spoke last week that it's referring to the four exiles, and that Hashem, that Avram Avinu cuts them in half means he, in the end, they get broken, in the end, they're destroyed. We also learned, but he doesn't cut the bird in half. So we learned two Perushim about that last week. Either the bird is referring to Malchus Edoim, and we brought from the Maral a very interesting thing, that the bird is, that Malchus Edoim, even though it seems, which is the last Galus, even though they seem to pump themselves up and make themselves into such a big Metzias, into something so important, it's really just a stolen thing. It doesn't really have any power. They're not really a real Malchus. It's a Malchus Shfela. The Eibishter says to Yitzhak and Rivka, we spoke last week, even though you pretend to be big, in my eyes, you're even not you. That even though you think Esav is big, to you he's big. Call him Beno HaGadol. In my eyes, he's a nobody. Cutting Begoyim nesaticha, a small life given you in the emet. That's why it's a bird, didn't cut, because there's not even a kedei, there's nothing to cut. A little pigeon. Another pirush in the Medrash is that the bird is referring to the Jewish people. Rashi brings that as well. So in that sense, the Jewish people will survive all the pegarim, all the gullies, all the animals around them, all the beasts. So the bird is not cut because the bird is referring to Bnei Yisrael that survive the beasts, which are the other nations. And then it says that a vulture came down. The vultures came down, not the vultures. The vultures. Vayeda da'ayit. So then the vulture came down which are the birds? Yeah, is it the vulture? No, the oirev is the rev. Yeah, it's the vultures. The vultures that came down always, whenever there is a kill, whenever there is a dead carcass, the vultures always come to have a party. So it says over here that the vultures came down, the Pasuk describes in Pasuk Yud Aleph, ala pagarim, on the pieces, vayashev yisam Avram, and Avram chased them away. So what really does this mean, that Avram chased away the vultures that came down on the pagarim? So Rashi says that it means that Ben David is going to come. No, I'm sorry. David HaMelech himself wanted to destroy the four empires, the four kingdoms, but Avram Avinu held them back and pushed David HaMelech away, did not allow him to bring about the final Geula. And we explained last week from the Al Shech HaKadosh, because ultimately, you know, we needed to go through this, because the other option would have been Gehenim and total. And Gehenim is a cleansing that is far, 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 far worse than any kind of cleansing that we had. Even though to us it's like, you know, what can Chas V'Shalom be worse than what we've gone through? The Jewish people have gone through. Yet it says actually that Avram Avinu himself was mesupak, not knowing which one to choose. Till Hashem told him, choose the gullus. I'm telling you, it's better over the Gehenim. And that's why later it says in the pasuk how Avram fell asleep. And he saw, in the end, he saw a fire burn the pegarim, burn the carcasses. Meaning to say that your children that are going to go through the gullus and are going to go through the purification, so that's going to take care of all their sins that they've had. But the nations in the world who did not have this purification, so they're going to have a different kind of a possible ending. But so that's the idea. That's what we spoke about last week. I want to go back a little bit to this idea that the vulture came down and Avram Avinu chased the vulture away. Vayashev v'yisam Avram. So before, this is a little bit more of a Hasidic interpretation into what happened over here from the Tzemach Tzedek. But before we do that, let's just say what the Medrash says in terms of what are the possibilities for what happened over here, the vulture coming down and the pegarim. So I mentioned that on the one hand, the Medrash seems to be saying that the dead bodies, when Avram cut the animals are referring to, the pieces of the animals are referring to the nations that he cut. There is another pirush in the Medrash that the pegarim are referring to the Jewish people. That these are and it seems like from the Medrash this is referring to the Jewish people at the end of days. We'll soon explain that a little better. It says that the vulture came down is referring to, the Medrash says, that the vultures are Nebuchadnezzar and all the other, I don't know what they call these types of birds, birds of prey, that came down to eat the flesh of the vulture, of the carcasses, meaning to Chas V'Shalom rip and eat the flesh of the Jewish people. And it says that Avram Avinu took a stick and was chasing the vultures away, but yet the Medrash says that he wasn't successful. Let me tell you what it says over here. Amar Rabasi. Rabasi says, Nasa Avram Makisha, Avram took a stick, and he was beating them. But they weren't breaking. Avapiken, then it says, Vayashev Avram Oysam, simply it means that he chased, in the end he chased them away. So the Medrash uses the word Vayashev Oysam, he shooed them away, b'tshuva, with tshuva. Okay. Amar Rebbe Zaria says, L'kashayasu panecha pegarim, when your children are going to become pegarim, pegarim means like dead bodies, dead carcasses, b'loy gidim v'atzamis, even without veins and even without bones. Chus chayim edes lahim, that's when your chus is going to stand by them. So the medrash, so the mafarshim on the medrash say, afal gav, even though, remember, so because over here we're a little stuck. These dead carcasses, who are they? Are they referring to the nations, which it seems the Medrash has been saying earlier, or are they referring to the Jewish people? So the Yafei Toyar is a Mefarish and a Pirish, and the Medrash says, Afal Gav, even though that the Bali Chayim, these beasts, Meramzim ala Umais, they're referring to the nations, which were mentioned earlier, like Achapagarim, but these dead bodies, Remzim al Yisrael Begalusam, that on the Jewish people, that when they are in exile, Bink Tzasa Amim, the leftovers amongst the nations, Hanesinim Sham Lemirmas Kippagarim, the Chasr Shalom have been sitting there and trampled on like dead bodies. When it says the vulture came, Va'ayetem Seineim, these are the enemies, Harparchem Aleim, that are flying above them, reminding us of the Al-Achlam, like the planes, the German bombers, they're coming upon them from above. Va'avram Ispalal Al-Adavar, and Avram Davind La'achniyam, to try to subdue them, lifnei Yisrael, in front of the Jewish people. That's what it means. He took a stick and he's davening to try to get rid of it, and it doesn't help. Like it says in Pirkei Reb Eliezer, v'rakal yedei tshuva ma'isim tovim. Then it says v'yashev v'isam Avram, that Avram was able to chase them away. V'yashev means through tshuva. In other words, it will require our participation as well, which is tshuva, yamoltu. Okay, so this was just information I wanted to have from the Midrash. So we have to figure out exactly who is the vulture. It seems there's two possibilities. The pigarim, the dead carcasses, can either be the nations that Avram had destroyed them. And then the ayit, the vulture, is referring to a force of holiness, David HaMelech, who is considered an ayit, a vulture. And then what it means that Avram pushes him away is because Avram, he wants to do it too quickly. And Avram says, Nachnish gekumen de zeit, it's not yet, I'm not ready for that yet. Or it can mean the other way around, that the pigarim are referring to Chas v'Shalom, the Yidden. And the ayat, the bird that comes down, is an unholy bird. It's like he said over there, Seineim shal Yisrael, the enemies of the Jewish people. And Vayashiv Vaisam Avram, and Avram is chasing away the vulture for a good reason. And through tshuva, we will complete that. So what's happening over here? So the Tzemach Tzedek is explaining this just a little bit. This is an interesting idea. And he says that let's begin with the vulture. He says the vulture is shayach to be in Kedusha and the opposite of Kedusha. In Kedusha, we find that there are very high neshamas that are called birds. Very, very high neshamas, lofty souls. Generally, there are neshamas that are compared to fish, neshamas compared to animals, and neshamas that are called birds. A bird flies very quickly, especially when it comes to Mashiach Tzidkenu, who is also called a bird. The Zohar says on the Pasuk, Yikara lecha kan tzipor, when you're going to come across a nest of a bird, so the kan tzipor is referring to the kan, the nest of Mashiach Tzidkenu. So Mashiach is called a bird. And that's why it says, Be'ita, when the time comes, Achishena, I'm going to make him come quickly. Because a bird flies very swiftly. Achishena, swift. It's because it's a neshama of a bird. And he brings that, that's why every geula, it refers to, Hashem says, I will carry you on eagle's wings. It means on Mashiach's wings. Mashiach is considered to be a bird. In Klipa, we also find that there is a Klipa dig a bird. It says in the Pasuk, Hashem is talking about Edom, he says, Im tagabiha kenesher, if you're going to rise up like an eagle, misham eritcha, from there I will throw you down. So we have the bird referring to neshamis, a very big tzadikim, and since there's zel umaza asalikim, one opposite the other, there is a ayat, there is an inyan of a bird, of a vulture, of klipa as well. So now, he says, so now let's first explain it based, if we say that the ayat is referring to neshamas of tzadikim, neshama of Mashiach, supreme powers of holiness that come swooping down with a power of kedusha. So now, according to that, what are the pigarim? What are the dead carcasses that the vulture wants to consume, the vulture of holiness wants to consume? So we know, it says pigarim. What are pigarim? Pigarim is a carcass. A carcass is a body that the soul left it. The neshama went away from it. So Kabbalistically, what is that referring to? We know that the entire power of all that, whatever, the entire mess that there is in the world that needs to be mesukan, that needs to be fixed, this that there are empires of darkness, forces of evil in the world, it all stems from what we know is a disorganization that happened before Hashem created the world, a big mess, which was furthered and completed to be even a bigger mess by the Cheta, the Eitz Hadas. And that was the idea of Shviras, what Arizal talks about is Shviras HaKelim. The Shviras HaKelim was the shattering of the vessels. They were called the seven ancient kings. Zayin Malkin Kadmoi, the seven ancient kings of the world of Tayu. So there, what is explained in Chassidus, there were Oirois and Kelim. There were energies and vessels. The containers, the vessels, were not commensurate. They were not compatible with the Oir. The Oir was too powerful for the vessels. The vessels broke, and the Oir went away from them. And what's left over is these vessels, but these vessels still contain within them some really powerful energy, because since they touched the light, even though it was only for a very short period, they absorbed some of that light, and that's why the koiches of the Sitra Achra and the other side are so powerful and so strong. Our avoda is to wrestle and take out the sparks of Kedusha that are there within these forces of Klipa, and when we do that, we leave the Klipa bankrupt. We leave the Klipa lifeless. There's nothing left. So he says the pigarim are these shivrei kelim, these broken vessels that are left over from the shviras kelim. They're called pigarim, just like a peger is when a neshama leaves the body. The body remains like a peger, like a dead body. So too, these are the shivrei kelim that there is. Vayera ta'ayit is referring to the neshamas of tzadikim, the neshamas of all the yidden va'amech kulam tzadikim, that come down through the galus, which we know that the whole purpose of galus was that lo higla kadosh baruch hu es yisrael lebeina umayis, the Eibishter did not gather the Jewish people to be amongst the nations, ella in order to add the gerim. That was the reason why we were scattered amongst the world, is to collect the sparks of holiness that there are amongst the nations. Last week, interesting, there is a pasuk in last week's parsha, Parshas Kisavai. It says that Vahoysa, one of the curses that were given to the Chas V'Shalom, to the Jewish people, is Vahoysa Nivlascha. It says that your dead bodies will your corpses will be machol. There will be food lo'ifa shamayim, to the birds of heaven. So there's an incredible mimer from the Tzemach Tzedek in which he explains that all the klalas that I mentioned in last week's parsha is really not referring to the Jewish people. It's referring to the klipa. And when it says Vahoysa Nivlascha, is referring to as follows, an amazing thing. The word Nivlascha, which generally means Nevela, means a carcass or a corpse, it also comes from the word Noivlois, that which falls. Vahoysa Nivlascha, that which fell, the Nitzutze Kedusha, that fell down from a very, very high place, the holy sparks that have fallen down from a very high place during the Shviras HaKelim, and they have now fallen into the Klipa. So all these nivlascha, all these sparks, machol, they will be food, la'ifa shamayim, to the birds of heaven, which are referring to the neshamas of tzadikim, and that are going to collect all the sparks, and they're going to empty out and cause the klipa not to have anything left over. And that's what Avram was going on over here by Bris Ben Absarim, that Tzemach Tzedek says the same thing. The pigarim are the leftover vessels that are left over amongst the nations. And then Vayera Da'ayit, the vultures, are the vultures of Kedusha that are coming down to collect and elevate the sparks of holiness and to leave the Klipa without any life to it. And it seems like David HaMelech was able to accomplish Birur HaNitzutzes completely, but Avram Avinu, for whatever reason, felt that Nochnish were not ready for that, and it needed to be like thousands of years later. That's if we say that the ayat he brings is ayat the kedusha, the bird is a holy vulture. If we say the bird is an unholy vulture, it means the opposite. It means that the forces of klipa that are very, very powerful also comes down as vultures and they try to stop this avodah of elevating the sparks. They interfere. They come down and try to mess with this service of elevating the sparks of holiness. That Yidden should not be mevarer it. And this is the inyan of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and the stopping of the Karbanos, which was all about when they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and they stopped Karbanos, they disallowed the continuation of the Avodah of Birur HaNitzutzes in the highest form possible. Because we know when we brought Karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, that was the main inyan of elevating sparks. Now we have to go down amongst the nations. It's a whole different form of a Birur. Now, however, as I mentioned earlier, the pigarim, the carcass, is also referring to, according to the Medrash, according to the second Pirush of the Medrash, referring to the Jewish people in Galus. So the Tzemach Tzedek says that why are they called pigarim? So he gives two explanations. One is because the Yidden are going to be throughout the Galus, and particularly in the end of Galus, in the epitome of poverty and pressure, and they're gonna have a lot of hardship. So that's why this state, Chas V'Shalom, is what calls the Yidden Pigarim, because of the oini, because the extreme poverty that they had in their difficult and lengthy exile. At kadei kach, that it says when Mashiach comes, Hashem says, I'm going to rebuild them. I'm going to make them a burial. It's a tchias amesim, meaning the coming of Mashiach itself, not just the tchias amesim that happens. Coming of Mashiach is to lift the Jewish people up from a state of misa, chas v'shalom. Or he says, ba'oifen achar, another pshat, pigarim, the reason why Yidden are called pigarim is a peger, is again, we say, a lifeless body. It's referring to the spiritual status of the Jewish people. Because there will be chas v'shalom, a state when they don't have chayas anymore, which Torah mitzvahs is the kehem chayenu va'erich yamenu. And chas v'shalom, take a look at the world, and we see most of the Jewish people are alienated to Yiddishkeit. And that's called the pigarim. The Jewish people that are, in Baruch Hashem, we have, you know, a good core of Yidden that are learned Torah and do mitzvahs, but most, rubai of the Jewish people are, it's our avodah to bring them back, but they're not observant of mitzvahs. So that's why at the end of days, the Yidden are called pigarim. Or at least, chas v'shalom, not dead, because the heart, there's always a heartbeat within Yidden. But at least it's an inyan of shina, of sleep. And being in a deep sleep is also called pigarim. Why? Like we say every morning, we say, hamachzir neshamos, that Hashem gives back souls, lepigarim mesim, to a pagar that is dead, referring to, even though chas v'shalom, a person wasn't dead, a person was just asleep. But sleep is also called an inyan of pigarim, of a corpse. So in the time of galus, ani yeshena begalus, a yidden are asleep in galus. And the main inyan, and what happens during the sleep, is that the vulture comes down, which is, as we said earlier, the vulture over here in this sense would mean the non-kosher vulture. The forces of klipas, and what they do is they derive energy, because at the main yanikas achitzainim, the main time when the forces of the unholy, the extraneous forces in existence, are able to siphon energy and take chayas from kedusha, is during the time of sleep. That's why we know when we're sleeping, our bodies are tamei. When we wake up in the morning, we have to wash negelvasa to chase the klipa away from our nails. Right? That's the purpose of it, because they run away from the body because we wake up, but they stay at the tips of the fingers. But that only happens during sleep. So the same is also when there is a general sleep of the Jewish people as a whole. So that's when there is a yanikas achitzainim, when the forces of the unholy come to take chayas from Yidden. So now the thing is that Avram Avinu is trying to chase the klipas away during the time of Golus, and it's not really working for him that well. Until Vayashe Vaisam Avram, until he says Avram brings them to tshuva. Because when Yidden do tshuva, at the end, and now comes Rosh Hashanah, and we're all doing tshuva. Elul, we did tshuva already. Slichas, we do tshuva. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we do tshuva. The moment Vayashe Vaisam Avram means he blows. Vayashem is a lashon of Mashiv Aruach. He brings back the wind. The moment we wake up and we do tshuva, we cause Ruach, the wind, to blow. And when the wind blows, the vultures run away. The wind is the hamshacha that comes through tshuva. When we bring tshuva, in other words, we draw down the makif, the encompassing light of Hashem. And it says when the infinite light of Hashem is present, the klipa goes running for its life. It can't be there. So vayashiv oisam Avraham means that through the tshuva that we do, we bring down the ruach of Mashiach, the ruach alakim erachefes, and causes the unholy to run for its life. That's what we need right now. It's Bamish the Indian that we need is the ruach alakim erachefes of vayashiv oisam Avraham. But al kapanim, this is the idea of what's going on over here with this whole vulture coming. And but the main thing is to understand that in the end, Yidden will do tshuva. If the Rebbe would always quote Tefticha Torah that Yidden are going to do tshuva. Vayashav Yisav Avram, and Avram is going to bring us back to a tshuva, and then the vulture of Klipa is going to disappear. The Pegarim are going to come back to life. Hamachzei Neshama is Tefkarim Mesim. And we're going to have a Tchias HaMesim, Bashat Begashmi is for all those who passed away. And Beruchni is all those people that have, Chas V'Shalom, fallen into a sleep, will wake up from their sleep, and will be a full observance. Okay, we continue. Now, in the Pasuk it continues, and it says that after this happened, after Avram chases away the Pegarim, it says, Vayi Hashem Eshlavoi, the sun was setting, and a sleep fell upon Avram, and then he experiences a dark, a ema, a fear, chashecha, a darkness, gedoyla, a great one, and a fellas olav that falls upon him. So the Medrash says that this darkness also is referring to the Avram suddenly has a very clear vision of the four, of the Arba Galios. Ema is referring to there's different versions on it, and the Mefarshim talk about it, but in general, Ema is referring to Bavel. Chashecha, darkness, is referring to Yavan. They made it dark for the Jewish people. Or no, Chashecha is referring to Paras and Madai, because the Yidden had to fast, and they made the Yidden eyes dark and fasting, because the days of Mordechai and Esther. Gedoyla, a large empire, is referring to Yavan, the Greeks, they were large. Noifeles, the one that falls, is referring to Edom, because in the end of days he will fall. And as we said earlier, if you will rise like an eagle, Hashem says, I will throw you down. That means Edom rises very, very high, especially right before their Mashiach's coming. They fall. And finally, Olav, upon him. So even though the Medrash doesn't say this, but the Daza Kenim from Bala Tosfos adds that Olav is referring to Galus Yishmael, which it seems like joins at the end of Galus Edom, the Galus of Yishmael. And he says the reason why it's called Olav, Elu b'nei Yishmael, Sha'aleim ben David Yitzmach, that upon them ben David is going to sprout. So this is Gishmak to hear, that it's meant to be and it has always been planned, that in the end of days, Yidden are going to have tzaras with Yishmael, and Olav upon them, it's upon him, Mashiach is going to rise. As it says in the Pasuk, Oivav albish boishes, his enemies, I will dress them with shame. Va'alav, and upon him, and upon on him, which is the Klipas Yishmael, Yatzitz Nizroi, his crown will sprout forth, which is Mashiach. So this is where we're holding right now. Okay, so these are the four Goliaths that Avram sees. So there's a very fascinating Indian over here. From the B'nai Yisachar, in his, he talks about Pesach. He says, right, so Avram has this vision. I just want to conclude. After this vision, he sees this great darkness. Hashem talks to him. And Hashem tells him, "Vayomel Avram," and Hashem says to him, "Yodea teda, you should know, ki geri yizaracha be'eretz lo'ilahem. Your children are going to be gerim in a land that's not theirs. Vavadim, they're going to enslave them. Ve'inuoysam, they're going to torture them. Arba me'yoshana, 400 years. Vagamasa," right? So he's talking to him about Golus Mitzrayim. And after that, also the nation that is going to enslave them, I'm going to punish them. And then they will go out with great wealth. He asks a simple question. If the order historically, the order of the events, first came Golus Mitzrayim, and then came these Eimo Hashecha Gedoyla Nefelas Olav, all these subsequent, these other empires that we were in Golus in. So the order should have been reversed. Sure, first it should have been the Eibishter tells Avram about Golus Mitzrayim, and then he can come ahead and tell him about the other exiles. Why is it that when Avram sees the vision, he sees the later Golus in first, and then he sees Golus Mitzrayim? So he explains as follows. He says that the four empires, each one of them, right, each one is a different klipa, a different force of impurity, corresponding to the four, to Esh, Mayim, Ruach, and Afar, and other things, everything is in four, the four rivers that we spoke about. Golus Mitzrayim is not part of the four Goliyos. The reason is, as we learn in Chassidus all the time, it's the Shoyrish, and it's the root, and it's the source of all exiles. So it's not included in them because it's above and beyond them. So first Hashem shows Avram Avinu each one individually. Then after he shows them the four Goliyos individually, he shows them the Shoyrish and the Makar, the root and the source of all the Goliyos, which is Golus Mitzrayim. And it's interesting, and he brings that in Golus Mitzrayim, it says, Vayiyu bayamim harabim haheim. And it was in those many days. It's an interesting lashon. Bayamim harabim haheim. It was in those many days. What's this lashon? And then over there it says that the king of Mitzrayim died, and vayanchu b'nei Yisrael. And the Yidden were sighing, they were krechtzing, min avoida, from the hard work. So he says that the word rabim stands for, Bechlal, Rabim is never kosher, because Rishus HaRabim, there's Rishus HaYachid, a private domain, is referring to the Kedusha. Kedusha is a private domain. And Rishus HaRabim means the public domain, is referring to the Sitra Achra, the other side, that are called mountains of separation. Public, separation. They're not Ba'achdos, they're separated, fragmented, Rabim. So Rabim, he says, stands for, Reish is Roimi, Rome. Beis is Bavel, Yud is Yavan, the Greeks, and Mem is Madai, Paras and Madai. So that's Rabim. Golus Mitzrayim contained, and it was the Shirish of Ayi Bayamim HaRabim HaEim. It had all four Goliaths wrapped up in it. So the Eibishter is showing first Avram. In order to be able to know what the Klal is, he has to first know the details. He's done this, and then you should know there's this one Golus that includes them all. But Hashem is telling Avram that you're going to beat the Shirish. Yodayotayda, you should know your children are going to be in that Golos. You're going to go out Berechush Gadol. And when you see that Geula, what should that teach you? That if you were able to go out from the source and the root of all Goliyos, you're definitely going to be able to beat the branches. Because always the Shirish is stronger than the branches. So if you're going to have a Geula, that I'm going to take you out from the root of all Goliyos, you're definitely be able to come out of the individual particular Goliaths that are going to follow Golus Mitzrayim, which is the Shirish of all Goliaths. And that's called a Kal V'Chaymer. A Kal V'Chaymer is that when you have a Kal V'Chaymer is every time you say, if you're able to, if the halacha or whatever it is, if you're able to do so and so, that's called Chaymer, something that's harder, then definitely something that's easier for sure should be so and so. Okay? So we can make a simple Kal V'Chaymer. If from the Golus Mitzrayim, which is the harshest of all exiles, we were able to go out, definitely we can go out from the lighter exile. But he says an amazing inyan, a gewaldig inyan. Why do we have a Kal V'Chaymer over here? Dafka Kal V'Chaymer. Because Kal V'Chaymer is very, very important for the Yeshua, for Geula to come, for the redemption to come. The inyan of a Kal V'Chaymer. Because he says, Chazal, interesting, in Gemara, whenever it refers to Kal V'Chaymer, it's called din. V'dinhu, the Gemara says, it is a din. A din means, whenever the Gemara uses the term v'dinhu, it is a din, the Gemara means, a Kal V'Chaymer is called a din. So for whatever reason, apipshat, we're not going to get into it, why Kal V'Chaymer is called a din. Apipashat is dinhu means, it makes sense, it's logic. Din, it means, it's only... It's not a chesed, it's not a kindness, this is logic, this is the way it should be. It's just that it should be so. But he says it has a deeper meaning. A Kal V'Chaymer is called din because a kal v'chomer is related to dinim, to judgments. It's related to judgments. But the whole inyan of kal v'chomer is to take from judgments, from a chomer, from something very serious and stringent, with his chas v'shalom, a dinim, harshness, and to make it light, which means to make a chesed out of it, to make kindness out of it. And he proves a very gevaldig inyan, just a point thing to know. We know that before we say hoidu every day in davening, we say a passage called Rabbi Yishmael Omer. B'shloish esra midois ha-Torah nedreshes behem. There are 13 measures in which we expound Torah. Torah Shabbat Peh is based on 13 measures in the way you learn Torah Shabbat Peh. And it goes through methods of learning. The first one is Mikal V'chaymer, is a Kal V'chaymer. Now, when you hear the number 13 in Yiddishkeit, especially now when we're coming to Chodesh Elul, what do we right away think about? The 13 is the 13 attributes of mercy. So it says in Kabbalah and Chassidus in many places that the 13 methods that the Torah is Yudarshan with correspond to the 13 attributes of mercy. Actually, it has a Shaychus to Chodesh Elul. Chodesh Elul, we say Haroya b'Sheshanim, Ani l'doidi v'doidi li Haroya b'Sheshanim. So Sheshanim are roses, and the Sheshanim are the 13. Why roses? And we know that the 13 attributes of mercy are called the 13 petals of the rose. Chazal also say on the words Shash b'Sheshanim, they say it comes from the word Shoinim halachos, Sheshonim. Sheshanim, don't read it Sheshanim. The Gemara, the Medrash says Ela Sheshonim, those who learn. Learn Torah, which is based on 13 methods of learning. So you see that Sheshanim and Sheshonim are the same thing. That the 13 Midoy Shatayra Nedrashas Behem are rooted in the 13 attributes of mercy. Now, if we say the first method in which you expound is called Kal V'chaymer, what is the correspondent attribute? So the correspondent attribute of the 13 attributes of mercy is Kale. Because the Alter Rebbe says in Likutei Torah, if you learn the Maimer in Chodesh Elul, he says that Hashem Hashem is not counted in the 13 attributes of mercy. Hashem Hashem is the introduction, and then Kale, Rachum V'Chanan. So Kale. Now Kale is the attribute of Chesed. Not plain Chesed, Chesed as it is in Keser, infinite Chesed. Rav Chesed, it's Kale. Like it says, Chesed Kale Kol Hayoim. Kale is Chasadim, the highest Chesed. So now we understand. Kal v'chaymer is to turn over, chas v'sholem, an inyan of dinim. We said before, how do Chazal refer to kal v'chaymer? They call it dinhi, it's a din. I'm a chas v'sholem if there is judgments. So now what's the root of kal v'chaymer? It's kale, it's chesed. It's the power of the chesed to convert over even a din. So what does that have to do with the kal v'chaymer that we're making over here about the geula? By Brisbane Absarim. Oh, and by the way, it says a very interesting thing. It says when Miriam became a Mitzora, she became a Mitzora. So this is a word from the Mizritcha Magid. So when Miriam became a Mitzora, so Moshe Rabbeinu davened for her. And he said to Hashem, Kael na refa na la, please heal her. And he said these words, Kael na refa na la, please heal her. So Hashem answers Moshe Rabbeinu that, okay, I will heal her, but she should remain locked up for 7 days, and then she will be healed. Okay? So the pasuk, however, if you remember in Parshas Baloischa, the pasuk makes over there a kal v'chaymer. It's the only kal v'chaymer written. It's not the only one, but it's one of the 10. Rashi says there's 10 kal v'chaymers in the Torah that are explicitly stated in the Torah, and this is one of them. What's the kal v'chaymer? It says if her father would have spit in her face, she would have been embarrassed for 7 days. How much more so if Hashem spit in her face? Meaning if Hashem is angry at her, it's worse than if her father. So that's a kal v'chaymer. If she would have been punished for 7 days, so now for sure she should be punished for 7 days. But this was Hashem's response to Moshe Rabbeinu for him davening for Miriam. So he says, why did Hashem answer him with a kal v'chaymer? So the Mizritcha Magid says, because since Moshe Rabbeinu said, evoke the name of Chesed, what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Kael na refa na. He evoked the first of the 13 attributes. So he pushed the piano key. He pushed that note of the Kal V'chaymer. He evoked the Kal V'chaymer. He evoked that the Eibishter should be mamtik, should sweeten the judgments. And the Eibishter answered him with the Kal V'chaymer, because Kal V'chaymer is the power to sweeten the judgments. So the same that B'nai Yisachar says happens over here. The Geula is taken out from a Kal V'chomer. If we went out from Golus Mitzrayim, we will for sure go out from the other Golias. Why are we using Kal V'chomer? Because this comes to add. What's going to happen, Chas V'Shalom, if there's Dinim, if the time of the Geula comes, if Tavshin Ayin Hei comes, Tavshin Ayin Vav comes, and there's judgments upon the Jewish people, they're not worthy for redemption. There is Din. That's why we have a Kal V'chomer, to tell you that the Geula has to come. In other words, even if Chas V'Shalom there is a Din, there's any kind of Dinim, Kal V'chomer comes and flips over the Din, whether they're worthy or whether we're not worthy. Even if it's a Chas V'Shalom, an Indian of Dinim, there shouldn't be any Dinim, because the Geula will come. But then he goes on to explain, this is really special, and he says that the four cups, the four cups that we drink on Pesach by night are celebrating the four Geulais. And we also apply this idea that the Geula has to come, even if there's demons, we apply the Kal V'chomer. Why? Because we celebrate the shyness of Geula, of redemption, on a cup, on a kois. Strangely enough, kois is din. Why? Because let's say, what's the gematria of kois? Kois is samach, chaf vav samach. Chav Vav Samach is 86. The exact gematria of the name of Elohim. Elohim is 86. So Kais is Din. It's judgments. It's Elohim. Wine is also judgments. Wine is red. The difference between wine and water. In Sukkot, we pour water on the Beis HaMikdash. All year long, we pour wine. Mayim is Chesed. Yayin is Gevura. The whole Indian is that we're making Kal V'chomer. We're taking the kois and the yayin. And in other words, to show that geula has to come even in a time when chas v'shalom there's not worthiness. The four koises are celebrated, even if there is din, kal v'chomer. We're sweetening that. Now but the interesting thing, I'm going to conclude with this, he goes through the four koises, and he shows how each one of them corresponds to a different malchus, to the four. It's not only Golus Mitzrayim, it's the four kingdoms that we're going to be. In other words, because we went out of Mitzrayim and we went out of the Sheirish of all the Goliaths, now we can experience a Geula from each individual Goliath. So therefore, we have the first cup we make Kiddush on. So that corresponds to Golus Bavel. Because Bavel tried to destroy the Kedusha of the Jewish people, because they're the first ones who attacked our Makim Kodesh, our Beis HaMikdash, the place of holiness. They interrupted Kedusha. So we want to show liberty and freedom from the forces that try to interfere Kedusha. So we make Kiddush, which is Kedusha, which is the opposite of what they wanted. That's Bavel. The second cup we drink is the one that we say the entire Agadah on. And that corresponds, most of the Agadah, to Golus Madai, Paras and Madai. Because Paras and Madai were the first people that came close to a total annihilation of the Jewish people. They wanted in the story of Purim. No one ever attempted to do that. Well, we say that in the second cup. We say that Pare only wanted to destroy the males, but Lavan, he wanted to be oikar hakoil. He wanted to ripe everybody. And then we say also vihisha amda lavi. We pick up the second cause, and we say that's referring to Golus of Haman and Achashverosh. They wanted to lachaloisenu, to wipe us off the map. Second cup, we triumphed over Madai. So we triumphed over Bavel, we triumphed over Madai. And he says a gevaldige inyan. Those two klipais, those two forces of evil, we have good riddance from them. We've rid ourselves completely from them. They're not here at all. They don't exist anymore. They're out the door. There's no more power. There's no lingering effect of them. That's why after these two kaises, we have Shulchan Erech. We celebrate already Asuda. In other words, we already have the meal. We have already complete. We're done with them. The last two cups are referring to the last two Goliaths, which we have not completely gotten over them. That's why they're after the meal. The third cup is the one that we do benching on, is referring to Golus Yavon. Yavon, he says, interesting, even though, you know, the Chashmenayim triumphed over Yavon, it's not really completely, because Greek philosophy remained in the world. And not only that, the Greeks are very much part of the Edom kingdom, because when Chazal says Mishmane Ha'aretz Yieh Moshevecha, when Yitzchak tells Esav, from the fat of the land you will live, and the sages say Zu Italia Shel Yavan, that's Italy, and it's called Italia Shel Yavan, because the Italians, the Romans, were a lot of them based on Greek, on the ancient Greeks who went to Rome, and it became later Edom. So there's a lot of Greek in Rome, and for that reason, he says that those two Malchiyos still exist, Edom and Yavan. And that's why we do it after benching. But let's see what that kais is. The third kais is the kais of benching. Now, what was Yavan all about? Yavan stood up against the spirituality of the Jew. They wanted to wipe out our neshama. They wanted to wipe out Torah mitzvahs. Lashkicham Torah secha, lavira mechike chukei ritzenecha. How do we counter Yavan and show our liberty? That not only did Torah mitzvah survive, but we actually do more than we are asked to do. Well, that's benching. Chazal say that benching is one mitzvah that we go beyond the letter of the law, because according to the law, we're supposed to only bench when we eat a kabeitza, the size of an egg. But the Eibishter says, take a look at my children, that even when they only eat a kazayis, they're already benching. So benching shows a special chavivus that Yidden have, that Yidden do more than the Eibishter even asked of us. So we're saying, not only the Torah and mitzvah survive, but even we survived. We have not only the cake, we have the icing on the cake as well. We even have benching. That's why we triumph over Yavan. Finally, the last kais, in which we say halal, and we say, Shvoi chamascha el agoyim, pour out your wrath on the nations, it's referring to Golas Edom, which they're the ones who have been such a long exile. And they have been, and the main Indian of Golas Edom was under the Christian rule, where the Christians taunted the Jewish people all the time and said that God has like abandoned them and thrown them, that he has forsaken them. That's why it says, when we say, Loi lanu Hashem Elokeinu, we say, Ki l'shimcha ten kaved al chazdecha al amitecha, don't do it for our sake, do it asei l'man shemecha. As it says in the pasuk over there, why should the nation say, Aye Elokeinu, where's your God? And that's what has been happening. This gullus, Jewish blood has been cheap. Yidden have been trampled on, embarrassed, shamed. Jew has always been a derogatory term. We've always been, that's mamash, the whole discussion in Hallel. Think about the lowliness. But in the end we say, and we cry out, Min ha-meitzar karasi kof, from the pain we call out to you. Ana Hashem oishiyana, ana Hashem atzlichana. Finally, Baruch haba b'shem Hashem. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem is referring to that the Geula is going to come, even if Yidden are not worthy. Both because Laman Shemoy, because the Eibishter's name, Hamachulol Bagoyim, that's Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, that Yidden are going to return b'shem Hashem, it's going to be because how much desecration can the Chas V'Shalom be on the Eibishter's name? So in the end, there is going to be a Geula, and that is the last cup, which is in which we say Hallel, which is going to wrap up all the Geulas and bring about the final redemption. So this is where we're holding a mamish right now, at the conclusion, Golas Edom, may the Eibishter see already, should be a complete redemption, and a Geula Amitis V'Hashlema. There's still more to talk about this, but hopefully we'll continue. So yeah, I guess next week Thursday. There's no reason. Yeah, we can have a shir, but hopefully it's going to be in Yerushalayim in our Kodesh already, and we'll experience already Tekab Shrei for God Alachareseinu, and everybody is going to have a good kebench Yorah Shana Tova Masukal Ksivach Simatova, and everything, and all the brachas should materialize Begashmi Hismamish Lamata Masaret Fachim. We should merit an amazing, amazing good year, the best year ever, and a Gula Shalema. All right.